Commodity broker Gordy Kolevitz with Chido Commodities joins us for the weekly ag market recap. Maybe, Gordy, you could say it was a week that wasn't, because when you look at the close on Friday versus the open Sunday night, we didn't do a whole lot, did we? Even though maybe we should have.
Well, we kind of backed off on corn. Like these corn last week, we finished the trading at 335.
Ooh.
And we came in on Monday again with just a concerted round of selling, and you know, just been kind of oozing on down all week. Middle of the week, Tuesday, Wednesday was the worst, and then we just kind of went sideways. And you know, despite the fact we had big export sales announced all week, the marketplace just doesn't care. You know, all the analysts, you know, all the marketing services I'm seeing are all talking about crops getting bigger. You know, yields going up. Everyone's raising their yield number. And, you know, the kicker was, you know, on Monday we had the ratings went up, you know, I think 2 to 3 percentage points across the board. I think we're up 3 on corn and I think 3 on
beans.
3
on beans, yep.
And that kind of took us down on Tuesday and Wednesday. And by the end of the week, every analyst is now raising their ratings. I heard one this morning up to 182. You know, another one's at 51 on beans. I mean, these numbers just keep going higher and higher on, you know, like I said, when you look at the ratings state by state and how they operate, they don't seem to make a lot of sense. But, you know, I've been complaining about the ratings for the last 15 years. They don't mean anything. They're not based on anything except for the fact that traders base their yield decisions on them. And yeehaw, there we go.
But this has happened so many times, and this time of year going into early harvest, the yield, the crop has been hyped up so much. Then we get into harvest a little bit, and we put our harvest low in during the summer because we find out we got a great crop, but not quite as great as the market thought.
Well, that's just it. I mean, yeah, like I said, an average crop, like last year's yield is not a disaster, but that would pretty much put us out of grain. And, you know, there are some big crops out there. You know, I mean, this is a year where we got some really decent weather in places. You know, there are a couple people have the upper 200 bushel an acre corn out there. That's not in question. You know, like I said, I've been saying all year along, this is not a disaster year where you're talking huge yield loss. I'm just saying that you have some nicks and dings. I mean, you get a big chunk of Iowa that's been too dry all year. You've had Indiana, Illinois, you know, Ohio being pretty dry for big chunks of the season, you know, and also hot and dry with some pretty good wind in there. And while it wasn't during pollination, you'd think it had to affect the crop somewhat. And so, you know, I'm just saying you just take a little of that top end off. But the marketplace isn't. They haven't even begun to subtract. In fact, they just keep adding. So that's the problem right now, is the ratings justify any kind of yield number you want to throw at it, because the ratings are not only high but going higher. And as one of the pundits put it, ratings normally should be dropping once you get the pollination. And so, therefore, an unchanged rating is the same as an increase. And an increase means it's a big increase. So, you know, that's how they kind of spin the thing. So even if ratings go down, it doesn't mean anything. It's normal. Anything unchanged to higher is, you know, yields going up tremendously. So, you know, that's kind of where we're sitting. On the other hand, it's also the end of the month. And, you know, this week, I think the funds really wanted to keep a lid on. And, you know, looks like they kind of did. So I think that also is part of the game playing process that goes on.
But I thought it was encouraging that these corn, we didn't go down and set a contract low. So I thought that was a bright side.
Yeah, I mean, the grains are actually holding okay. I mean, corn's still holding off its previous lows. And again, today was sort of a low-volume day, but the funds really are trying to keep a lid on it at the very least. But again, but at the same token, we're also getting oversold without really gaining any good ground on the trade. You look at the November beans, you know, they actually had a pop the last day and a half thanks to some big export sale announcements. So they're not finishing off as badly as the corn. So, I mean, they got thumped, you know, because of the ratings. And what's interesting is we actually made a new low yesterday and managed to close up 3 and got a little bit of follow through today. So we're back over kind of an important moving average and kind of no worse than in the middle of the trade range. And it's forming a big pennant. The highs are lower, the lows are higher, and we tend to break out of those kind of things. And right now it looks like, you know, with the news and what we're seeing, an upside breakout wouldn't be impossible to picture. And even the wheat, which has been kind of the weak sister all along in here, you know, has firmed up, and it's now trading in a trade range toward the upper end of its band in Chicago. So, you know, in general, the corn's the only one that really looks all that weak. And if we can just hold in here, yeah, that's also the place where the funds are the shortest. So we'll see what happens on the commitment of traders as to how much shorter they got, if any. And, you know, a lot of times that just seems to be the catalyst to move these things. The funds just decide, I'm not making any more headway here, let's just get out. So, you know, it's a new month. August tends to be fairly warm and dry. It's one of our warmer, drier months. And, you know, we're going into the weekend with the forecast of sort of cooler, even though it is not wet, it's cooler. And so the next forecast change more likely would be a turn to hotter. And, you know, the market's kind of leaning student body left, so a turn to hotter would certainly not be a bad thing.
Over on the livestock this week?
Well, you know, the livestock, I've been, you know, a little bit friendly on them for a while. And, you know, numbers are heading back up as far as slaughter pace goes. The price is coming down at the retail level, letting demand work. Export sales this week, again, were decent for the critters. And the funds don't really have a big exposure either way. And so if you look at the chart, I mean, the cattle have been slowly but steadily creeping up. And this is a pretty good week. We kind of got thumped on Monday and kind of came into a fairly decent moving average support. And it was sort of a slow, steady buy all week. And so at the end of the day today, October cattle managed to kind of break out. Nothing real shocking, but, you know, up 112 points at the end of the day, taking out the trade range. So now you have to go all the way back into March to find prices higher than this. And because we had kind of a pretty big breakdown, you know, there's not a lot of real resistance overhead until you get up close to 115, and, you know, we're sitting at just under 108. So there's definitely room. And it just feels like the packers are getting back, you know, there's still heavy cattle, which is a bit of a weight on the market. But, you know, we had some hot, dry weather that looked like it impeded wheat gain. So as you get forward in time here, it looks like we're kind of getting a little bit closer to normal, and you throw in some extra export sales, and it really seems like it's helping the cause. And then you look at the hogs, you know, they've been kind of on the low end, and they didn't do anything real remarkable this week, but at the end of the week, they kind of firmed back up right at the end. And, again, they're no worse than being in a trade range. And, you know, the cash market's been firming up. All of a sudden, the lean hog index has been firming up. Had a couple good up days this week, and all of a sudden now the lean hog index is above cash. So it's up in the mid-53 range. And August are still trading at 52, and the October's are at 49.60. And, you know, so it just feels like, you know, there's a little bit of buoyancy even there. And so, you know, I think there's a little bit of hesitation on the futures trading and just a little bit of nervousness about the economy. You know, this week we got the GDP number, which showed it, you know, cratering as the fastest in history. More people still unemployed. You know, COVID is breaking out in a bunch of areas. And so there's still, I think, worry that the economy still might be, you know, thrown back into reverse again. And I think guys, you know, remember last time, you know, the meat packers were hit hard when that happened. So I think there's a little bit of reluctance to get too aggressive. But as long as we're kind of still semi-normal, it just feels like the meats are getting back onto more of a normal footing. And that would leave them a little bit more room to go. And especially the hogs, you know, demand there was really good for the export side. That flooding we've talked about in China seems like it's hurting the hog crop there. It sounds like a bunch of them got flooded out again. And that may just, you know, need a little bit more pork import. So that should certainly help the demand side of things. And like I said, the funds aren't very heavily invested in this thing. And if you look, a lot of other markets, it's kind of like corn versus the rest of the grains. It hasn't gone anywhere. And so I think there's a little more upside to the hogs just because, you know, you look at where the cattle are. And I think hogs have some room to maneuver. So if we can get the market a little excited, hogs could be the one to have a little more of a breakout move in the next week or two.
The other newsworthy event this week that should have been friendly too, but no hype about it, the dollar was dropping down to around 93.
Yeah, today's a bit of a reversal. They made a new low overnight, and we're getting a little short covering, which isn't, I guess, shocking on a Friday. But big, big drop. And, you know, it's interesting when you look at where things are. You know, the dollar index in early March was trading at 103. And, you know, you look at October hogs at that point, they were sitting up around 70. And so, I mean, you know, we've lost 11% on the dollar index. So that works out to about 7 cents in hogs. So, I mean, that could put them up at 77 just based on the dollar index. And now they're down here under 50. You know, beans were at 930 at that point in the game. So you lose 11%. 11% of, you know, 90, you know, is just about a dollar. They could be trading at around 10.30 based on the dollar dropping, and instead they've lost 50 cents. You know, they're down in, you know, in the 880 range. So it's kind of interesting that, you know, the dollar in South America gave the farmers, even though they had great exports and a big crop, the farmers still got paid very well for their corn and beans. And keep in mind, they were forecasting record crops down there, too. So the difference here is in America, we're just getting stiffed. That's what it is. But the reality is, with the dollar being that cheap, that's one reason why we're seeing these huge export sales being announced, is that to the foreign buyer, the dollar's gotten cheaper, and our crops have gotten cheaper. It's a double whammy. So, you know, if the grains had gone up a little bit in line with the dollar, they wouldn't be any different than they were a couple of weeks ago. But now we've made them doubly cheap, and that's just going to assure that our demand continues. So it's a real gift to the foreign buyers that want to step in and buy our grains.
Commodity broker Gordy Kulovets.